Father, continue to speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is there anyone that has come for the first time to this assembly? No, nobody? Okay. There are two Greek words in the Bible. I would like to just bring these two words this evening. The first one is anange. If you transliterate, it would spell like A-N-A-N-K-E. This word anange means a necessity. It may be a necessity that is imposed by a circumstances, as Manoj was talking about. Or it could be a constraint that is placed upon me. Or it could be a compulsion that I am in. This compulsion, I may put myself, or I can put this compulsion on me, or I can put the constraint on me, or it can be from the situation, or it can be from the hand of another person. Just to explain, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7, God is saying, don't be under compulsion to give. Don't put yourself in a constraint that you have to give. For God loves the cheerful giver. The call that God has placed in our lives, and God has given the provision, grace and His Spirit and the local assembly and various gifts. And our striving is according to the power of God that works in our lives. No place where I have come to a condition where my call is like very tough. God is saying, even if it is a money or if it is yourself, don't do it under compulsion. For God loves the cheerful giver. In discipleship, in Luke chapter 14 verse 18, a man puts himself, or a man puts a constraint upon himself, and he excuses from the discipleship. And he says to Jesus Christ, I bought a piece of land, so I must need to go and see that place. You know how he put his constraint upon himself? And then he says to Jesus Christ, please consider me excused. A constraint that is placed upon me by myself. Or it could be a constraint that God has planned it for me so that I can get to know Him. In Luke chapter 23 verse 17, Pilate was under a constraint. He was in a necessity. The necessity is that he must release a prisoner. The law put him under necessity. And he comes and tells Jesus Christ, don't you know that I can release you? I have the authority and power. Jesus Christ said, no. That is a guilt or a constraint that you are putting yourself under. You will not have the authority unless it is given to you from above. And in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 16, Apostle Paul says, there is a necessity that is placed upon me to preach the gospel. What a necessity that is. That is the constraint that Apostle Paul is in because of the love of God in 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of God really constrains us. The cross of Christ really constrains us. That's what Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 16. If anyone wishes to come after me, he brought in the cross. And if it is not for the love of God in our hearts in Romans 5:5, I don't think we would understand the entire picture of it. The other word that I would like to share is agonizomai. That is the second word. This is the word that is derived from the word agon. In the olden times, the word agon means a struggle, a contest, or a you are in a place where you are opposing someone else, or it is a wrestling that you are doing to a point of exhaustion. It is not just a fight, it could also be a labor that you are laboring with to a point of exhaustion. That is the word, agonizomai, to be in fervent in a particular task, even to an extent of following God, because the love of Christ really constrains us. And we have the English word agony, which is derived from the noun form agon. And this agonizomai in the New Testament occurs 7 times. And all the 7 places are very, very beautiful. The first one is Apostle Paul speaking in 1 Corinthians 9:25. And he is giving an example of the people that are participating in the Olympics or any other games. You know how their life is totally set apart? Right? I read an article during the Olympic times. People pass on comments that India doesn't have gold medals, but they want their sons and daughters to become doctors and engineers. Right? So the people that are participating in these games are totally given over it. There is a discipline that is required by them. And Apostle Paul is saying that that is what our call is. And the second time, it is in John chapter 18 verse 36. Jesus Christ is talking to Pilate. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom is of this world, my servant would be fighting. That is the word. A contest in a battlefield. That word means a contest in a battlefield. Have you ever been in a battlefield? How that would be a soldier's life, thinking about the battle. The third place is in Luke chapter 13 verse 24. A contest to choose. A choice becomes a contest. How is that? Jesus Christ says, entry through the narrow road is a contest. Not because the width of the road, but it is because you have to choose to give away the baggage of worldliness. I am very thankful to Jillian that Jillian is teaching these things to the Precious Kun children about the narrow road. And fourth place is 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12. This contest is in the invisible realm and it is in the warfare. Every single place is. There is a striving to the point of exhaustion. There is a focus that is, which is very, very fervent in nature. And there is a discipline that is worked in. There is a mindset and everything calls for. 1 Timothy chapter 6 verse 12, a contest in the invisible warfare. And Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, fight a good fight of faith. And then how about the contest in prayers? Auntie Maggie, right? Praying fervently. There is a contest. Daniel was praying like that. And Apostle Paul says, Epaphras is like that. This man is really in contest in his prayer life in Colossians chapter 4 verse 12. And the sixth place is a contest to soul win. There is a contest, really, as we go out. And Apostle Paul is talking about, I am really striving in the soul winning, but according to the power that works in me. Don't misunderstand that this is the contest that we are producing out of our own energy. There is a power of God that is in us. There is a constraint. There is a love of God. It is not that I am trying to lose my life so that God is giving me some reward. Everything is captured by the love of God. We heard the worship that we have towards God. All these 6 places are in present tense, talking about our life. And there is one place where this contest is mentioned in perfect tense, where Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, I have fought. That's a beautiful thing. I have completed my contest. I have full reward. People are knocked out in the way, but I have. He's not taking pride, but he is saying, I have fought. He's telling. This is in the perfect tense. So I would like to speak about these two words appearing in one verse. That is the book of Jude, verse 3. There is a striving and also there is a contest. In verse 3, he says, Beloved, right? There are two epistles that begins with the Beloved. One is 3 John. Somewhere in the middle, Beloved is. So he's talking about Beloved, right? In the beginning itself. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about common salvation. So Apostle Jude was intending to write a larger and general epistle about common salvation. But as Apostle Paul says, there was a necessity that was laid upon Apostle Jude. And he says it beautifully. I felt the necessity to write to you. Not about the common salvation. God put me in a place of constraint that this is the message that I have to write. It is not about the common salvation. I was put in a tight place. I was constrained by the love of God. And I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing to encourage you to contend. That is a word, contest. God put me in a tough place so that I would encourage you. You would contest earnestly for the faith once and for all handed down to the saints. And he is saying the word the faith is the entire body of doctrine. God put me in this place and I am in this constraint that I have to deliver this message so that you would be contesting for the entire body of doctrine which is delivered to the one saints once and for all. You know why? There is an attack against the word of God. The enemy wants to adulterate the truth. The enemy wants to shift the truth. And God put me in this constraint so that I would tell you and we will all learn together to contest for what we believe, for what is handed down to the entire body of doctrine. And then he gives the reason why I felt the necessity, why I was put by God in that constraint, and that is in verse 4, the purpose class and the reason. And he says, for certain persons have crept in unnoticed. Right? He watched that and he learned and God told him, I have put you in a place of constraint now. And what do? They are marked out for condemnation. They are ungodly persons who turn the grace of God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. There is an illegitimate entry that has come into being. And it is not a legitimate entry, it is an illegitimate intrusion. The word crept unnoticed is, it is somehow settled alongside unnoticed. It is a mixed multitude who would bring in the distraction to the entire body of Christ so that we would give away what is being handed down once and for all to us. And God put me in this constraint that we would learn to contest for what is being given to us. And then he goes on to talk about the entire Old Testament. And he talks about different things. And if you read this, and he's talking about Cain, he's talking about Balaam, and then he's talking about Moses' body. And then he's introducing the entire Old Testament. And you may ask, why do you speak about the authority from the Old Testament? By the way, the scent of the devil is not changed from the old to the new. That is why I want to speak about these things from the Old Testament. And these things are written, as Apostle Paul says, so that it would serve as an example. And the entire body of Scripture is inspired, and the Scriptures cannot be broken. And the contest is for the entire doctrine. It is not for one part of the doctrine. Once and for all, handed down to the saints. And it is the faith. It is not just the faith. How do we contest? How do we, now having spoken that, no, so this, we are all in a place of constraint. It is not just Apostle Jude, right? You know what is the opposite of contest? Compromise. And not voice out truth. And that which is not of faith is sin. And God has put us in this place of constraint so that we would guard what God has preciously delivered to us. And how do we do this? In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 38, there is a word called confidence. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. The word confidence in the Greek means freedom of speech. It is not just what is confidence? You are able to communicate what you believe. That is what confidence. And when you go silent, and Apostle Paul, the writer of Hebrews says, do not throw away that which God has given to you. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, and for you have the need of endurance. So that when you have done the will of God, as Apostle Paul says, I have fought, you may receive what was promised. And every single man of God were put by God in this place. From Adam till, and it is going on. God puts us in a constraint so that we would learn to contest what God has given to us, and we would stand for the truth. There is an attack which is unnoticed, and it comes unsettled, and it is the plan of the enemy so that he would take away the truth and there would be a void, and it is an illegitimate intrusion. It is not a legitimate entry. And he is very clear about it. And if you read that, examples he is giving, and then he tells us how do we contest. And all the examples are listed. Now let's come down to verse 20. He began with what? Beloved. Right? After all the examples, what he says in verse 20? How does the verse begin? But you beloved. All these things are mentioned. These guys, the scent is not changed from the old to the new. They are like that because the enemy's scent is not changed. But you beloved, how are you going to contest? We revenge disobedience with our obedience complete. That's it. It is not the weapons of warfare or not carnal that we are taking the sword and we are just like, you know, swinging. No. We continue to obey all the more. That is how we contest. We would do the same thing all the more. That is how we contest. We press on, press on, press on. That is how we contest. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, which was once and for all sin. That's it. That is the way to contest. Continue to do what we have to do. And then, praying in the Holy Spirit. Building yourself up on the most holy faith. And keep yourself in the love of God. Not just that, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And that is how he says. That is how we are to contest. There are three participles that are mentioned: building and praying and waiting. These three doesn't happen one after the other. These three happens collectively. These three nurturings are happening collectively at the same time. And all of them are in plural. He is not talking to an individual person. The beloved is plural. He is talking to the body of Christ. And as we come together, there is an edification. There is a building up. And as we come together, there is a prayer. And as we come together, there is an earnest. And we are waiting about the Jesus' coming. That is how we contest. Apostle Paul uses the word building in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 10, talking about the foundation of Christ. There is no other foundation. If there is another foundation that is coming in, learn to contest. It is not a foundation at all. There is no other foundation. When you build yourself, and you have to build on this one foundation. And then he speaks about it in Colossians chapter 2 verse 7. Everything is precisely talking about the word of God. Having been firmly rooted in Christ. And now being built up in Christ. Established in your faith. How does all this happen? It is happening in the setting of the body of Christ. It is happening in the setting of the local assembly. It is happening in the setting of hearing the word. It is happening in all the places where the contest comes. There is a contest to soul win. There is a contest, a labor that is to prayer. There is a contest to change this foundation. And Apostle Jude is very, very clear that there is no other way what we would stand for, what we believe, apart from continue to do what we are doing. I was thinking about the two examples. One is in Luke chapter 24. The other one is in Numbers chapter 14. In Luke chapter 24, there were two disciples. And there was an attack. And they were talking about the truth. They were talking about, even when Christ came in and they said, no, the women came and told us about the resurrection. And the truth is being spoken. And they are walking, not believing in the truth. And given over to total doubts and whatever the misgivings that they had. And then Christ to open their eyes. You know how he opened their eyes? Bringing in the entire body of doctrine. Beginning from the Old Testament. Spoke about it. There is an attack to just to divide the Bible. There is an attack. I was thinking about Joshua and Caleb. All the others were looking at the enemy. They magnified the enemy to the core that they missed out what God gave them, the promise. How could you just like that slip away? And you're talking about the enemy, right? When I went to Hyderabad, Sudha gave me an example. One eagle somehow fell into the, chicken group of a hoop. And it was the eagle was growing along with the other chicken. And eagle did not know that it is eagle. And as the eagle was growing up, one day the eagle and the other hen were together, and there was a eagle that flew. And this eagle was looking at that eagle, and the hen was also looking. And hen was talking to the eagle, saying that, don't ever think that you can fly like that. So sometimes there is a pressure. It is actually, you know, there is a necessity for us to be in that place and not voice out our identity that God has given to us and thinking, oh, that is not me. No, but there is a contest that is required by us because God puts us in this place so that we would stand for what we believe. Amen. Thank you, Father. And just bless this evening in Jesus' name. Amen.